Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back. Second hour of Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. Michael, we have a very good guest next to talk with.
Very special, Mr. Brooks Downing, the president and founder of GD Global. Brooksy, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
We're doing good. I got a really nice present from Dan in Batavia High School basketball. I got a new pullover and got an invitation to a golf outing they have every summer. And
nice.
I have played golf one time many years ago with Dan Issel, and I need to go up to this for one reason only, to see his swing. See what has happened since then to now, Brooksy.
Well, if you need a fourth, I can't play the senior tees like you guys, but I'll be out there.
Oh, that's cold, man. That is really cold, Brooksy. That is really cold. Jeez. So a lot of people may not remember, but you were SID at Kentucky in some really interesting times, were you not?
Yeah, I refer it to the modern-day golden era. Having the opportunity to go back there, I'd interned right after college. First job was with Kay Wood Ledford, and then worked with the KHSAA running the state tournaments with Julian Tackett and company back in the early 90s, and then rolled right back over. Coach P hired me in 95, And I always claimed I was the good luck charm because we went to three straight Final Fours and won two. And had he played Derek Anderson in that second one, it would have been three straight. But that's a whole nother story.
Well, why didn't you send a note down to the bench?
Oh, I mean, Mike, we were out in San Francisco in the regional, and he was so excited. Derek at practice was the best player on the floor. I mean, he was 6-8 weeks out of ACL surgery, which was the most miraculous comeback of all time from an injury in all of sport. And, he's sitting down there with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe in the hotel lobby, and he goes, "Hey, Brooks, come here real quick. You need to put out a press release that we're not going to play Derek. We just made the decision. We're going to sit him." I'm like, "Coach, I wouldn't rush to any decisions. Why don't you sleep on it tonight? Let's talk about it again in the morning." No, I want you to put it out right now. "Coach, it's 11 o'clock Pacific time. There's nobody up to put it out to. Let's just wait till tomorrow." I did my best to try to let him sleep on it, maybe come to a different conclusion, but that would, Rick makes his mind up. It's going to be that way. So that's how it was. And, of course, we saw him shoot free throws against Minnesota, but would have made a difference in that Arizona game for sure.
Brooks, you mentioned Kaywood Ledford, and there's so many people because the older generation goes back to when Kentucky games weren't always on television, and if they were, it was on a delayed broadcast, and so many people tie their experience with the university to Kaywood Ledford, one of the all-time great sports announcers. Tell us about your relationship with Kaywood.
Well, Dan, I tell you, you know, it started there when I was an intern at UK in athletics and obviously working. Even prior to that, Mike Dotson, the famous Mike Dotson that was with Host Communications, now still running the NCAA network, he and I were the student radio network when we were students. He was the play-by-play and engineer, which he's obviously the most capable one here in Central Kentucky even today, and I was the analyst. And so we got to sit right down the table from Kaywood and Ralph and next to him in the booth at football games, the next booth over. It was just a great experience there with WBKY on campus. But it was, you know, Kaywood was all class, and it was all business. Where it was the better, whether it was his probably first game back in the 1950s when he was one of a number of different radio stations that would line the court, and if you're going to listen, you better be on your game. It was a one-man show, and if they didn't like it, they were going to change the channel and listen to somebody else. And so it forced them to really perfect their craft. And I tell you, but there was only two that you'll ever hear talked about, and you guys probably know them both, and that was Claude Sullivan and mm-hmm. Kaywood Ledford. And, of course, Claude got sick there in the 60s, and Kaywood went on to become the legend that he still is today, with his banner hanging there in the arena with yours. And I tell you what, he was just class individual, hard worker, took it serious right to the very last game. And, of course, the very last game he worked was the Duke 92 game. But had it not been that game, had it been a game or two before, he put every ounce of effort into knowing that both teams, understanding the stats, and being able to paint that picture for the listener.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to hear a lot of his calls when we were in school, but we would rush to our cars after the game to be able to hear his interview with Coach Rupp. And his interviews with Coach Rupp were some of the most entertaining radio you would ever want to hear.
Oh, my gosh, that would be priceless to hear today.
Because Coach Rupp couldn't remember any of our names. He could only remember the town we were from, and so Kaywood would have to fill in the names.
I had not heard that story, and I was, by the time Coach Rupp retired, I wasn't even 10 years old, so I don't remember that much as well. But that's all we ever did, turn down the TV if it was on and listen to the radio, or just the radio dominated the house anytime the Cats were playing. I'm a kid sitting there in my bed and keeping stats, at 8, 9 years old. I just loved every minute of it, and it was because it was easy because of who was on the mic.
Now, Brooksy, you things have changed since you were the SID, and help us with that. Now, you've moved on to your own business. You've been very successful, but the SID's office, though, I guess I'm still using that properly, it's changed a lot since you were there.
Well, media is being consumed so much differently, as we all know now, and that's the biggest change. It was just starting to make the transition. I remember one of the last calls I got before I departed in 2003 there, was somebody, there was rumors that Tayshaun Prince was being pursued on New Circle Road in a high-speed chase, which, there was no validity to, but it was just the start of social media kicking in, and what everybody, whatever you wanted to post could be posted. And so I couldn't have timed my exit any better.
Amen to that.
Because it really has changed. I mean, like I said, you've got television, but people, to be able to watch games in clarity on your phone, and it's always with you, and the constant search for information and being able to consume that, and what's the latest, and it's made new businesses like KSR and these others that originated right out of their basements or garages, right, and went on to great fame, and to have an impact, both positive and negative, on the institution, where we would never have credentialed social media folks. We were resistant to even let folks with websites come and cover games. Now, that's all the traditional media has. The Larry Fox of the world, if you will, have all kind of transitioned over to various websites. You got others that have popped up, and it's a much different animal in the last 15 years than it was when we turned the calendar to 2000.
And that's such a great point with all of that, Brooks, because it also has created some issues. And from what I've been told and what I hear and see, that last year's team probably took a lot more criticism from the fan base, maybe just a small part of the fan base, but it was so vocal, that small part, that I think it really hurt that team's development. Would you agree?
I would not only agree with that statement, I think it's hurting Cal in his recruiting right now. And because I don't think we've seen, even when Billy Gillespie was struggling during his stretch there, or people that wanted to jump on the bandwagon of 10-loss Tubby, the various sore spots over the last couple of decades never had the impact because social media, even then, it was not as divisive as it has become over the last 4 or 5 years, which is just an offset from the politics that are going on in our world or our culture right now, in my opinion. But with that said, that volatility or that mean-spiritedness, quick to hide behind, post something inflammatory, has now been taking. As we all know, and you guys know it well, you college recruiting is all about negative recruiting against whoever you're competing mm-hmm. with for that individual. And now you take a Kentucky program, a proud Kentucky program, who's got the number one fan base in the entire sport, and you see these inflammatory comments toward their own program from their own fans. This is kind of unprecedented territory, in my opinion. And there's no doubt that if I'm at these other institutions recruiting against Kentucky, I'm using that to my favor. And I think that's what's been affecting us to some degree. So excited about the new moves that Cal has made to bring Orlando back and the new assistant coach also from Illinois. We'll see what kind of effect that has. But I don't think there's any doubt that some of our own stuff that has been posted out there has been used against us.
That's a great point, because so many schools, and we've talked about the situation that Louisville's in right now with, going on 4 years that they're waiting to see what, if any, punishment they come. The first thing that that people who are recruiting against Louisville are going to say is, why would you go to Louisville? They're going on probation. So you're absolutely right about that. My question, Brooks, is why do people pay so much attention? We all know that it's people hiding behind their comments and people that probably don't have any credibility. Why in our culture is that so important to us? Why don't we just turn the phone off?
They love train wrecks. it's like driving around New Circle Road and you see the wreck on the other side of the highway, and everybody slows down to look at it. Nothing's changed. They want to see the carnage, and it produces clicks. And I think that's what's created so much of what's going on throughout social media at every level, sports, politics, and et cetera, is that they just want to fan the flames, because that creates attention and creates it sells sponsorships in a whole different way, right?
Yeah, and you know as well as anybody with your – it's not a new venture. You've been doing it for a while, GD Global Sports. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you do the MTEs. You've done golf. And you're involved with the Pac-12 in their conference tournament. Is it also the Mountain West?
You're Big West.
Big West.
We were working with all five leagues here this spring, Mike, through our company, BD Global. We just had we had a situation where we were able to pull off some games in November when a lot of other tournaments went to the wayside because of the pandemic and the rescheduling. We normally contract 125 to 150 college basketball games, plus we have three or four professional golf tournaments we run throughout the year. But we lost two of our golf tournaments that start the Korn Ferry Tour every January in the Bahamas because of the pandemic. They'll be back on the calendar next year. And then we went from our 150 college basketball games. I mean, we're one of the largest provider of college basketball content in the country. We ran 23.
Wow.
And one of them was Washington versus Baylor that we put together in about 72 hours. But we were able to do that. We were able to create a bubble-like environment. We had our testing, which cost us an arm and a leg. But one of the first lessons I learned in business, when I didn't even know what business was, came from Kaywood Ledford, who taught me what? He said, "Brooksy, you got to pay attention to cash flow." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I'm 24 years old, and I'm his ghostwriter and behind the scenes for his paper and his radio shows and doing some interviews for him, et cetera. I'm like, cash flow, what's this old man talking about? So I get to the pandemic, and we're knee-deep, and we're losing business, and I'm like, cash flow, I totally get it now. And so, even negative cash flow was better than no cash flow. And so we were able to produce some games, which led us to getting hired to move the Big West tournaments, men's and women's. Santa Barbara won their men, Kyle Davis won their women's, from Anaheim and the Honda Center over to Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. As you know, we do a lot in Las Vegas, Mike, more recently with the Kentucky folks, the Kentucky-Utah game a couple of years ago, which didn't end so well. But with all that being said, we became a consultant of sorts, employed by the Pac-12, working with the Mountain West, the WAC, and the WCC in preparing and just implementing all the different safety and health protocols, creating practice facilities because all the schools were closed in the marketplace out there. I mean, there were 90-some-odd basketball games played in an 8 or 9 day period. And because of the preparation and the collaboration between all the leagues, every one of them got played. You didn't have a situation where a team was sent home. You didn't have a situation like VCU where they didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament because they got sick before they left their conference tournament. It worked to perfection given the conditions and circumstances we are in, and proud to say we got to play a small role in that.
Well, that's terrific. Now, do you see this coming season being wide open, or do you see some restrictions still?
I'm banking on wide open, Dan. We've got the single best college basketball game on the calendar for next season, Duke versus Gonzaga on Black Friday of Thanksgiving week at T-Mobile, and we're well on our way to a sellout. So I sure don't want to give any ticket money back. We better be wide open and vaccinated and rocking and rolling by this basketball season after what we endured last year. We need to make up a little ground.
We're talking with Brooks Downing, the founder and president of BD Global Sports. And you've done a lot of the MTEs, the multiple team events. You put on a couple for Kentucky. I think it's interesting for our listeners to know how difficult that is and kind of how you go about doing it.
Yeah, well, just to kind of, drive it home, the MTE is basically those November tournaments that you play in. The Maui Invitational being the granddaddy of them all, and the different tournaments that are held around the country, in and out of the country. And so we do a number of those, Southwest Florida, Las Vegas, Vancouver, the Bahamas. But then we'll also go in and do these home MTEs. We'll call them the Kaywood Ledford Classic or the Bill Keitley Invitational or et cetera, et cetera. You got to come up with different names. But it was for some teams, it's an opportunity to stay at home. And for Kentucky particularly and some of the other big schools, it's an opportunity to have more home games. And they make more money off a home game than they would ever make going on the road to play in a neutral site event. So you know, for Kentucky, many years they've hired us to go out and broker those home MTEs, four-game events, if you will. Some rule changes will reduce the number that you can play in them now, but down to two or three, it's your choice. But with us as a third party, we're able to usually go out and negotiate a better deal than when Kentucky picks up the phone, calls a mid-major or a low major, and says, hey, I want you here. They will usually pay full asking price, let's put it that way, on the guarantee. So we try to plug in the middle, broker the deals for teams like Kentucky. We do it for Rutgers and Arkansas and Indiana and others. So we've got a pretty good roster of doing three or four of those each year, which, you know, takes on handling all the contracts, doing all the scheduling, and then letting the teams run it as a home game.
Well, Brooks, one last question. That seems to me to be a good opportunity for all parties, but it's really hard to put together. And why?
It's not easy. I mean, you're looking at 350 some odd Division I men's programs out there today, which seems like an inordinate amount, but they go quick. And people are several years out. Like, we've got teams already booked in 23 and 24, even for some of our premium events. Because if you're not going to get on the, especially the bigs early, you're not going to get them. There's only a few that will wait and try to examine what kind of team they're going to have. That's the latest challenge, Mike. I mean, you hit on something there, and I'll give you this. It's because of the transfer portal and the, you know, 1,400 or 1,500 kids in that, scheduling has taken a back seat and is now being put together later and later than it ever was in the past in basketball. And it's done on an annual basis anyway. It's not like football where you've got 3 or 4 years out, or you're signing Georgia Southern, you know, for 2029. Lord help me if I ever put a game out that far out. I don't even know if I'd be around. But having said all that, the teams are, like, looking at their roster, trying to figure out what am I going to have? What are they going to have? And this will be Power Fives examining mid-majors. Wait a minute, do they have all five back? I'm not playing. I might as well play another big Power Five if that's the case. Let me see if they lose some people in the transfer portal before I okay that team to come into my event. So that's been the latest, biggest challenge, is the fluidness of the rosters in college hoops.
And Brooks, it looks like it's not gonna work itself out anytime soon. It might be August or September before we know what rosters look like.
You know, people were complaining nobody knew the what it does. They weren't around long enough. They're not even going to know anybody now. It's just changing jerseys, as Jerry Seinfeld. I'm just cheering for a jersey. That's all I'm doing.
The stripes on the side or the name on the back don't make a difference anymore.
It's really sad, but
Brooks, we appreciate your time, brother.
Well, it's an honor to get to be share the airwaves with you two anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Brooks.
We'll keep you for a spot in
on
the
our
future.
Speed dial.
Yep.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
I'll tell you what, he's been so successful with BD Global. And I mean, he just picked up and walked away from being the SID, decided that he either saw the future, which he talked about,
right,
or he just said, I've had enough. I'm going to go out here and try to make this thing go. And he's put that thing together where, and he's had bumps in the road, but he's done MTEs for Kentucky and for a lot of big name people.
And that was real interesting that he said he could call a school and get and negotiate a better deal than if Kentucky called a school. So,
yeah, I didn't, I should have asked him. I heard that, but I wonder why that was.
I don't know, but I guess
money's money, right?
Well, yeah, but I guess they figure UK, you know, if I'm going to come to your place and play your team, then I want full boat, and maybe somebody else is able to negotiate a better deal. Well, he said he was able to negotiate a better deal.
Well, you wouldn't believe the money they pay to bring a team in there. I mean, it's hard. I've been told places like Kentucky, Louisville, North Carolina, 100,000 minimum for one game.
Well, and that's why you see all the schools, because it doesn't cost $100,000 to get Rutgers to come down or somebody like that. So we'll see.
It's the scheduling piece, which I did when I was at Charlotte as an assistant. I didn't finalize them, but I kind of like a recruiter. I went out and dug up people to play, and then I took it to Lee Rose, and he signed off on it. He was the head coach and the athletic director. So it was difficult then, and, of course, we were just shopping for money. We wanted a return game, of course, but we were looking to get the most we could to get on the road.
Go play somebody.
And that was – we're not talking – if you got $10,000 to go play in an event, if you got $10,000 to go play in Marquette's Christmas tournament, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're talking one-shot deal for $100, $120. But of course, that money supports a whole lot of people in the athletic departments.
Absolutely, and a whole lot of non-revenue producing sports.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. All right, we're going to take a break. We will come back after the break with John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader, and we're going to talk to John about the effects of this recent assistant coaches hiring at Kentucky, and maybe some football too. This is Sports Talk, ESPN Louisville. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. We'll be back.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. My wild desire, I fell into a ring.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. I enjoyed that conversation with Brooks. That was very interesting.
And I thought his honesty about having no experience in the business world.
Yeah.
And he went out and picked people's minds like Kay Wood Ledford and started his business.
Yeah.
You know, he had been involved in communications in some form or fashion up until that point. And he stepped out and used his contacts and used the people that he could talk to and gain some information. I mean, It's a great story.
Yeah, it really is. And now we're pleased to be joined on the Pratt Issel Celebrity Hotline by Mr. Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. Thank you.
You know, John, we don't let just everybody call in on the Issel Hotline, Celebrity Hotline. We saved that for you.
I feel honored. Thank
yes.
you.
Well, there has to be a lot of excitement in Lexington about the Coach Cal filling out his coaching roster.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Return of Orlando Antiqua. And, of course, we all remember Coach O from his previous time with Coach Cal, which was a very successful time. Orlando has a great it's easy to see why he's such a good recruiter, because he has a great personality. I don't think he's met a stranger, and it's good to see him back. And then also Ronald Chin Coleman has a reputation also of being a very good recruiter, and both guys did a great job at Illinois this past year, and you know, helping Brad Underwood build that Illinois team, you know, the season that they had this past season. So yeah, I think both guys are welcome additions to Cal staff.
John, let's dive a little deeper into that. It seems like this past year, with the year that the Cats had, that a small portion of the fan base used social media to really disrupt things and to cause some issues, I think, long-term that year with the team and with their recruiting. And then, of course, there's the people that will always be Kentucky fans, no matter what. Do you think this will help calm down that small group of people that are grumbling all the time?
Well, you know, they'll probably find something else to grumble about. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you go 9-16, people are saying, you know, you can't stay with the status quo. You got to make some changes. Now, whether that's why, you know, what happened with the staff happened or not, I mean, I think, you know, Tony Barbie, I think, wanted to be a head coach again, and now he's got that opportunity in Central Michigan. And I think Joel Justice, I think Joel would like to be a head coach, obviously, down the line, and I think it's a good opportunity for him at Arizona State with Bobby Hurley to, you know, a different part of the country, get some contacts there, you know, in a Pac-12 program. I think, you know, and with Cal bringing on two new people, one of them not exactly new in Orlando, but coming back, you know, hopefully it'll work out for everybody. I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, the landscape is changing and changing rapidly with the transfer rule, which is obviously going to affect not just the transfers, but also going to affect, you know, your freshman recruiting, who you bring in. And, you know, the name of the game is whether it's you're bringing in the high school prospects or you're trying to get the transfers out there is going to be recruiting. And I think adding two recruiters to the staff, I think it helps. The other thing I think with Orlando, too, and, Mike, you probably speak to this better than I can. I mean, people talked about Kenny Payne and the relationship that he had with the players and what he could do with and the way he coached the postman underneath. I think Orlando had that same reputation when he was here. You know, that he was he had great relationship with the players. And he's also another guy who's a former front court guy who can help, you know, in teaching and help molding those front court players. So, you know, I think the fans are, you know, if you're not winning, the fans are really going to be grumbling. So we'll see how it plays out on the court. But I think these are two good moves on Cal's behalf.
And to your point, I thought the combination of Kenny Payne and Orlando Antigua was just a killer. For the reasons you said, not only could they coach the game, they could relate to these young fellas, and went out of their way to do that. And Dan and I've talked about this before. There's always a good cop, bad cop in the whole deal,
right?
And somebody has to put their arms around the players and their families. And but you know what really kind of hacks me off, John, and lets you speak to this or Dan speak to this. You know, people want to. I'm not say bad mouth, but they try to act like losing Joel Justice or Tony Barbee is a good thing. And these are two quality guys, and we don't know what went on behind the scenes. Now, I do know Joel and Tony brought in some players. Okay, they didn't bring in DeMarcus Cousins or John Wall, but I mean there wasn't guys like that out there anyway. Okay. But I just hate for those two guys. They put their time in. They're really good guys, and both were helpful to me doing the broadcast. And I just the feeling the fans want to put the monkey or the burden on these guys and act like they didn't get their job done. I thought it's unfair because people in any profession want to better themselves, to want to be a head coach sometime. They want to – what's the path to be a head coach? They want to be on that path, right?
Right, right. And you're exactly right. I mean, both those guys brought in good players, really good players. I know Joel especially, you know, of late had a hand in bringing in some really good players. They had some guys on this year's team who were not quite as good as maybe they thought they were going to be coming in. Cal said that at the end of the year. They were not as strong at some positions as they thought they were going to be. But, you know, nobody bats 1,000%. Nobody gets every prospect right. And, you know, we talked about this before. It was such a weird year this year, not having, you know, the typical preseason, typical summer, typical preseason, not having the typical schedule that you normally have because of the coronavirus pandemic. All those things kind of came together, you know, and, you know, but when you go 9-16, you know, people are looking for changes. I'm more interested, I think, right now in the changes on the court, who's going to be on the court. I think Cal's done a good job of, you know, you got C.J. Frederick, the kid from up in Covington who played at Iowa. You know, he's a perimeter threat. Kellen Grady's a perimeter threat. And I think kind of been lost under the radar a little bit is Oscar Tshiebwe coming in. I think, Mike, you probably agree, one of the downfalls of this team this year is that they were not very physical. I think even Cal said that, and I think Oscar will definitely help in that regard. We had to talk to him on Zoom. Oh, it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he said he could see where the team was getting bullied, as he put it, and he thought he could help out on that cause. So I think, you know, from a personnel standpoint, I think Cal's addressed a couple of their deficiencies through the transfer market, and I'm interested to see how those guys play out.
John, Cal's really been under the radar and quiet. We haven't seen him, I don't believe, at all. We've read statements that he's released. Have you been able to talk to him? Is he going to resurface pretty soon?
You're right. I mean, we haven't. He's been laying pretty low, especially by Cal standards. We haven't had a press conference with him or seen him. You know, he's been busy, you know, with the staff and other things. And I think, obviously, you know, the tragedy with Terrence Clark probably affected him too. But I'm sure we will be, you know, I'm sure we'll be hearing from Cal here pretty soon. But you're right, by his standards, he's been definitely under the radar here of late.
Especially if he comes up with a first-class point guard, then I think we might hear a lot from him. And speaking of that, what do you hear about Ty Washington?
Well, I mean, you know, I think Kentucky is in probably the best shape they've been with the entire recruitment. That's no guarantee that he's going to commit to Kentucky. But the people who follow that much more closely than I do are starting to say that it's starting to swing in Kentucky's direction. So, and there's another thing, too, is I don't think we're going to know, you know, what their final roster is going to be for next year till probably up in the summer, because we don't know what, you know, Davion Mintz is going to explore, professional options, but he still left himself an avenue to return. Isaiah Jackson's kind of the same way, although I think Isaiah will end up going, but who knows, he could pull a surprise. Keon Brooks hasn't said for sure what he's going to do. And there's some other transfers out there. You know, you think of Marcus Carr, the kid from Minnesota who's put his name in the draft but also left an option to come back to school and says he's going to transfer. And, you know, everybody says he's got the potential to be a difference maker to whatever team he goes to. So I think we're still up in the air as far as how that final roster is going to be, and it's probably going to be a while before that's, you know, before Cal knows for sure this is who the guys are I'm going to have for next season.
Now, you're so right. And even the mid-majors in the low majors are going to have to wait even longer. And that, boy, if you're coaching the team at those levels, man, you're going to sit on pins and needles. But if there was one thing that jumped out at me, and I'll let you tell us what you, when you first saw them the last year, the inability of the point guard to make things better for everybody else last year, but just jumped out at me. Now, saying that, that was the first time Calipari really had a team that didn't have the point guard to get it done. Okay. So do you think, John Clay, and I will follow it up with who I think will be coming to Kentucky, do you think that he would go into this next season again with a freshman point guard? Does Mintz be the backup guy that kind of schools the young player on how to play the point, or a guy like Carr from Minnesota?
Well, I think, I mean, if I was in Cal's position, if I had my druthers, I would like a guy like Carr from Minnesota or somebody like that who's been through the wars, you know, play the point, has that experience of playing at the, you know, college, because you don't know for sure when you're bringing in a freshman, you know, exactly how they're going to play. I mean, I agree 100%, Mike. I mean, I think that was the biggest problem last year. They didn't have a point guard who could create for other people or for himself. I mean, I go back to the year with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming in, and people talk like, well, you know, he's pretty good, but, you know, he might be a better off-the-ball guy. You know, and then he made that team. And look at the way he's played in the pros or professional career he's had up to this point. So, you know, I think with Cal, the point guard has always been a very important position that was obviously lacking last year. You know, Devin Askew, I don't think, was really quite ready to take on that role full-time. I still think Devin will be a really good college player. You know, he's just a kid who reclassified and, you know, maybe wasn't 100% ready to take that kind of role right away. But, you know, if you've got a John Wall who's a freshman coming in, oh, yeah, by all means, let's give the ball to John Wall. But if I'm, you know, if you don't have a John Wall and you're a college coach, you're probably your druthers just to have somebody with a little more experience leading your team at the point.
John, I enjoyed your column a couple days ago in the Herald Leader about the rule changes that the NCAA is talking about. Why does the NCAA insist on fixing something that's not broke?
Boy, if I knew the answer to that question. Yeah, I know. I don't understand. You know, the 6-foul rule they're talking about, to me, that would just encourage more fouling. We don't need more fouling. We don't need a more physical game. And you're exactly right. I mean, because I think Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News pointed out that there were fewer fouls called per team this past season in the, I think it's at the 73 years that the NCAA has been keeping stats on that, on that particular, you know, in that particular category. So why do you need to change it? To me, there's other things that need to be addressed. And of course, Dan, you can speak, and Mike Buck can speak this because you played in professional basketball. Okay, six fouls, but it's a 48 minute game.
Exactly.
College, 40 minutes, you know, five fouls. And it, they tried it in the Big East back in the early 90s, and everybody in the Big East said it was a failure. They had to stop because it's just too many fouls, too many stoppages in play. To me, I'm more interested, you know, they need to do something about the block charge call, be more definitive about that. One rule, I don't know how you guys feel about this, one rule change I think would be easy to do and would help the officials is go to the international rule on goaltending. That's, you take that off the officials' plate. They don't have to make a judgment call on that. You know, to me, we're giving the officials more and more to do, and a lot of times they miss the obvious thing because they're worried about all these other things they're supposed to be looking for. So, to me, let's try to make their job easier, not harder.
Yeah, that's a great point. The one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the one thing that you mentioned in your column is they're talking about a three-foul out per half.
Right.
So if a guy gets three fouls in the first half, he has to sit down, but then he can start the second half.
Right, and I think they're talking about maybe if you, you know, you can carry one foul over to the second half where you'd have four fouls in the second half. It sounds pretty complicated to me. And the other thing, too, you know, they're talking about maybe resetting the fouls after 10 minutes in each half because they can't go to the quarter, can't go to quarters like women's game because something to do with the TV contracts. But to me, that's be more confusing, too, if you're the average fan watching the game, you know, that's, you know, if they reset the fouls after 10 minutes, yeah. You know, you're just asking for confusion there. So I agree with you guys. I mean, why? It seems to me they're trying to come up with solutions to problems that don't really exist.
Exactly. But you mentioned the one, and we've talked about this before. You know, the college game I enjoy more than the NBA, except for one situation, and that is all the blocking and charging fouls that are called in the college game. I think you take that away very easily. If a guy, I mean, guys are leaning and they're getting the call, they're moving and they're getting the call. Unless you're standing there for a good 2 or 3 seconds to take the charge, it's a blocking foul. And if they would call it that way, they'd clean all of that up real quickly.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, to me, an example is what's gone on in college football where they, with the targeting rule, and, you know, you can, I think there's some also gray area about what's targeting and what's not, but you don't see those kill shots now from the secondary like you used to see because after, you know, a few years of this rule and the way it's being called, they've kind of legislated that out of the game or at least to a lesser degree than it used to be.
Right.
And I think the same thing could happen in college basketball. If you just make the make it so that a charge is a rarity, you really have to be in position and get, you know, run over for it to be a charge. Otherwise, it should be a block to me every time. I think that would help the game immensely.
100%.
John, we'll switch real quick and let you go to football. We had Vince Morrow on with us this week, and Mr. Positive, he's very excited about the year, and we, I think we all are if we're Kentucky football fans. What kind of feedback on their coaching change have you seen up there in Lexington?
Well, I think Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator, I think a lot of enthusiasm around what he's doing. I think they feel like they had a good spring as far as them installing the offense. Of course, obviously, the question is quarterback. They did not name a starting quarterback at the end of spring because they have the transfer, Will Levis, coming in from Penn State. He'll compete in the fall. We'll see how that goes by. Everything we heard sound like Joey Gatewood, the transfer from Auburn, who played a little bit last year, had a good spring, so we'll see how that plays out. But I think people are excited about what Liam's doing. Could be a little more diversified in the offense, a little more in the passing game. They're having a great year in recruiting. They picked up another, talking about Vince, they picked up another four-star recruit this morning, a cornerback out of Ohio, was ranked as the 12th best player in Ohio, committed this morning. So, you know, they're doing a real, they're on a roll right now in recruiting. And I think a lot of that, and I think it only helps what happened, I guess it was last week with the NFL draft. When you see Jamin Davis going in, you know, in the first round, middle of the first round, you see six UK players selected in the draft in a seven-round draft. I mean, that can only help in your recruiting. And like I said, they picked up another commitment today. And there's a reason why Vince is being positive. Well, they're doing a heck of a job right now.
You'll get a kick out of this. When we had him on, I had this theory that Cincinnati, over the last 10 years, has been able to hang around and get some players that Ohio State didn't have room on their roster, and maybe Michigan State didn't. And they built that football program up there that way. And I said, Vince, have you kind of copied that? And he goes, no, they copied me.
Exactly. Of course. But, you know, you mentioned Michigan. There's another kid out of Cincinnati, a tight end, Caddis, whose dad played at Michigan and who's a highly regarded prospect, and Kentucky was able to get him as well. I think they've really started to make some inroads around the Michigan area, and I think they kind of, you know, Michigan fans are not real happy with Harbaugh right now, and I think Kentucky's trying to take advantage of that.
Yeah, for sure, and it's fun to see us getting kids that, you know, are talking about going to Michigan or Ohio State.
Right.
That's a big difference. John, we always appreciate your time. You can tell your editor that I am a subscriber to the Herald Leader on email, and the main reason is I so enjoy your columns, and we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for being a subscriber. We appreciate that. Thank you. And thanks for having me, guys.
That's the only thing he pays for. He doesn't pay for much else, John.
Thanks, John. Have a good weekend.
You guys as well. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, John's good. John's good.
No, and his stuff, I really enjoy reading his stuff. That column, and if you haven't read it, go back and look in the archives. But the column he had about the NCAA talking about the rule changes, it was excellent. It was very good.
I have this question about that. Everything is the NCAA, okay, with the rule changes and other things. If I remember right, the Coaches Association, they have to meet in this, I don't know, June. They meet in June, July, somewhere in there, May. And they have to, I believe, sign off on some of these rule changes.
Oh, I would think so. I'm not familiar with the NCAA, but I know the way the NBA does it is they have a rules committee, and I was on that committee for a couple of years, which was a lot of fun. You'd go to New York at the end of the season and talk about changing rules, and one of the rules that we changed, which I think, Mike, you've talked about it before, that that would really enhance the college game is after a timeout being able to advance the ball to midcourt.
Well, that's in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. And that was one of the rule changes that we made when I was on the committee, is advancing the ball. And also another one was after a jump ball, instead of resetting the 24-second clock, it only went to 14. So some of those were fun changes. But you're absolutely right. The Coaches Association had to sign off on all those recommendations.
Well, to your point, there's a debate on one side, and Mike DeCourcy, who I think is a terrific writer, I've known him for years, and with the Sporting News, and he's adamant about he doesn't like moving the ball up. But there's a side that says, well, if you move the ball up, then you won't have the Suggs' shot at the end of the game. Or name another shot that won the game. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge made a shot one time back in the day. I mean, the little guy from UCLA dribbled at the length of the floor in the NCAA tournament. But how many of those games are versus the games that are lost because you can't get it up the floor?
You just mentioned three in the last, 40 years?
So you and I fall on the same side. Move it up. Get the chance
to
for the coach.
And,
the coach to draw a play and absolutely. Give somebody have a shot. Well, it's been another good week, Mr. Issel, and we'll be back next week unless somebody knows something we don't know. And for all the mothers out there on Sunday, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Enjoy it, and we love y'all.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.